This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The just-released jobs report from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics indicating the jobs market's beginning to bounce back following the coronavirus pandemic.
The May jobs report was a surprise to most economists, with a report beating expectations. Lady Kara George of the Bureau of Labor Statistics tells us,
total non-farm payroll employment rose by 2.5 million in May, and the unemployment rate declined by 13.3%. These improvements in the labor market reflected a limited resumption of economic activity that had been curtailed in March and April due to the coronavirus pandemic and efforts to contain it.
I'm John Clemens.
What could be Tropical Storm Cristobal by Sunday is expected to hit Texas or Louisiana with fierce winds and flooding rain this weekend. A tropical storm watch is already in effect for that region. This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
More now on the just-released jobs report for May. President Trump taking a bit of a victory lap after the report exceeded expectations from economic analysts, telling reporters a short time ago it's a great thing, noting the strength of the economy before the coronavirus outbreak struck. 2.5 million jobs were then added last month, and the unemployment rate dropped to 13.3%. Meanwhile, Democratic Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says there's still a long way to go to get things back to normal.
The stimulus helped get the economy going, but we need a lot more, or we could go right back into the ditch with unemployment.
The highest-ranking American at the Vatican is to hold a prayer service in Rome today to call for peaceful coexistence. After the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Cardinal Kevin Farrell is the head of the Vatican's Family and Laity Office. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
A YouTube star is facing criminal charges from Saturday's looting at a Scottsdale, Arizona mall, as cops there say they got hundreds of tips identifying 23-year-old Jake Paul as being at Scottsdale Fashion Square. They say he entered and remained inside the mall after it closed. He's facing criminal trespass and unlawful assembly charges. As cities and towns across the nation face huge costs from their responses to the COVID-19 pandemic, many are also dealing with costly stormwater and water treatment backups and clogs because people are still improperly disposing of wipes and PPE. Face masks, gloves, and wipes are being flushed down toilets, causing wastewater clogs, and many gloves and masks which get thrown away on sidewalks or in streets are contributing to stormwater backups. And officials say those items can also end up then being washed into waterways, posing dangers to wildlife. The American Society of Civil Engineers Committee for America's Infrastructure says people are taxing
infrastructure that's already old and deteriorating. And Lego is asking stores not to promote any of its toy sets featuring police or the White House. All the products are still there for sale, but the company says it's suspending advertising in response to the nationwide protests, saying it wants the black community to know that it stands with them against racism and inequality. We're online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here. How you doing? Good to have you with us. Did you hear that about Lego all of a sudden? I mean, they're buckling a knee, and now I guess maybe part of their income is now going to go to pay reparations, I guess, as they kowtow and try to placate this movement. I mean, they're going to eliminate, police and... Lord have mercy. I mean, this is absolutely insane. Police and, figures of the White House? Oh, come on. You've got to be kidding me. I mean, this is absolutely insane, what's going on. Look at enough of this stuff. Again, we got to go back. Nothing that difficult. This is where Main Street America kind of, gets this news. And they're sitting there at the coffee shops having their pancakes and bacon and eggs and that. And they go, what? they crack up. I mean, this has to be entertainment. I mean, you can't go to the theaters right now, but you can, look out and just hear and watch what corporate America does and, some of the statements that are coming out, from people that have absolutely lost their minds. And then what's scary is then you realize, you go, oh, my gosh, we elected these people. We put some of these people into office, and they talk like that. I mean, it's totally, totally insane. It reminds me, frankly, I was born and raised in Southern California, so I was around several rounds of riots in Southern California, and particularly in the 60s. Remember the infamous Watts riots that took place. Following that riot, the riots, they did a documentary called Watts Stacks. And they took the cameras to the street, talking to the people. In terms of, again, as I had mentioned earlier, from that infamous prayer of St. Francis, where we're calling out to God, says, grant that I may not so much strive to be understood as to understand. And that is one of the haunting verses. There are so many poignant ones, but for me it sticks out and has been for a number of years, because that has been my cry, because sometimes I just think that I just do not understand people. And I certainly am having a hard time understanding, I don't know about you, about all this chaos that's going on. I mean, we can talk about it and say, and have experts here and, professors and best-selling authors, and they'll point out historically what is the trend, what's the trajectory of all this, and we can reason and say, yeah, it leads to totalitarianism, but meanwhile, you've got real people with real issues causing real damage, and they may not know what they're doing totally, and they're all being, you know, used in this context, getting all whipped up with all kinds of emotion. But at the end of the day, they're destroying the very thing that supposedly they think they're protecting. I mean, isn't this kind of weird? I mean, that this happens. But this isn't new. You know, you go back through history. Empire after empire has been subject to these kinds of revolutions that have taken place. And after it's all said and done, you know, are you better off now than you were before all this happened? Are you worse off? And in the wake of all these totalitarian and revolutionary movements, you have, you know, millions of people, millions of people who die in the process that somehow, hey, it's, you know, collateral damage. It's okay. And as we see on the streets of America where people are, you know, whose businesses are getting broken into and looters are coming in, and you see the owners going, wait a minute, we're with you. We're with you. What are you doing? Well, they don't care, you know. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, they don't care, you know, because that's not what it's about, you know. And meanwhile, you've got protesters who out there that are protesting, and as Jerry Newcomb said, you know, they actually offer cover. They offer cover for these bad actors that are doing all this destruction. Because, you know, what you hear from the politicians, which is kind of interesting, I thought, you know, and a bit ironic, because you had, like in the case of, you know, President Trump, when President Trump was trying to analyze what happened in South Carolina, right, with the rioters, and he said, well, they're all good people. Oh, my goodness, the cancel culture, outrage culture, they lost their skulls. I mean, gray matter was splattered all over the television sets from coast to coast. It was incredible. But the very thing that Donald Trump suggested, you know, that people said was inartful. You know, he said the wrong thing. You know, the same thing with Drew Brees. Oh, he said the wrong thing. I've watched that and I've looked at his words again, and I go, what is going on? You know, what is it that he said that was such a problem? That he wanted to honor the flag. And if you remember what Drew Brees did, his teammates, again, beckoning to this movement brought to you by these anarchists and, you know, people like Colin Kaepernick that want to upend the very traditions and culture of our country. It's sad. I mean, you know, but we have to see what they're doing. It's about destruction. It's not about construction. It's about destruction. It's not about, you know, cooperation and collaboration. It is about coercion, as we talked about earlier with one of our guests earlier in the week. And this is what's going on. And it's a sentiment that we heard, you know, quite often in the previous administration. I remember one night show host, I think it was Bill Maher, who said to President Obama, he said, why don't you just do it? What are you waiting for? I mean, forget the rule of law. Forget about the fact that you don't make a law that Congress does. But, you know, you just go ahead and do it, you know. And even though he said, you know, he couldn't do certain things, he ended up doing it. And told the people, said, hey, I can't, you know, I can't, it's not within my purview. But somehow found a way, just like California. They found a way. They asked for a vote of the people. Cost millions of dollars to do it. Said, hey, look, how do you feel about, you know, the definition of marriage? And the vote came back. 8 million people voted in California. Said, you know, our definition of marriage is one man, one woman. Well, all it took was one activist judge who happened to be gay. Goes, wrong answer. And he vacates 8 million votes just like that. And the state kind of just shrugged. They went, oh, okay. Well, I guess, you know, whatever. And there goes 8 million votes. And then the next time you hear Democrats talking, they're yelling about, oh, every vote counts. It's so important. You know, we've got to honor every vote. Wait a minute, you guys, you knuckleheads, you just vacated 8 million votes, and then you want to tell me that every vote counts? No, that's not what you mean. What you mean is that as long as they vote according to your wishes, then that vote counts. If they don't, then, you know, we have ways, you know, to negate that vote. and this is what's going on. And then so when the president says, California again wants to lead the way in ballot harvesting, which is very suspicious on the surface. And we know what's going on because the people have told us. They've told us what's going on with these with ballot harvesting, and it is not promoting, you know, one man, one vote. You know, it's rigging the system. But again, California is just shrugging in much the same manner as they shrugged when 8 million votes, 8 million of their votes got vaporized. Well, we've got more coming up. Stay with us. I'm Bill Martinez. It's just about 15 after the top of the hour.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking plants are closing. Mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're not messing around here as we continue to pursue the truth no matter where where it leads us, okay? Good to have you with us 19 minutes after the top of the hour. The Reverend Rebecca Simon Peter joins us now. She's an ordained United Methodist minister, coach, speaker, and author. Her award-winning program, Creating a Culture of Renewal, has energized thousands of church leaders in small towns and large cities across the country to bring renewal to their congregations. And if we ever needed that, it would be now. Rebecca, good to have you with us. How are you?
Thank you, Bill. It's so good to be with you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, the opportunity is in front of the church right now. I mean, we have more people as a result of COVID, the chaos that's happening in the streets, as the riots have continued from coast to coast. They're spreading. I mean, it's almost like another pandemic, Pastor, here, because you've got, COVID is a pandemic, and you've got this outrage pandemic and rioting that's taking place that is now spreading into Europe.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. In the Creating a Culture of Renewal retreat that I lead, we train and we coach church leaders so that they can transform congregations and the communities they serve. And you're right, there's a lot of unrest right now, and it's among Black pastors and people of color. Of course, they're living with indignities related to their race every single day. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is that the deep dissatisfaction with the status quo, it's not limited to people of color. I mean, white clergy are giving voice to it as well, white churches. It's hard to ignore videotape after videotape of police brutality, of murder. Mm-hmm. And though it's really cool right now is that new alliances are being formed across the board. Diverse groups of people, mm-hmm. people of faith coming together, saying Black Lives Matter. Of course, all lives matter, but Black lives in particular are impacted by systemic racism. And people are really wanting to stand together for a more just society. In many ways, I feel very hopeful. The same kinds of responses that churches have had to the pandemic, so creative, you know, getting out of their buildings, reaching out to the people across the community, going online. I think what churches have learned during the pandemic is going to position them very well to respond with increasing sensitivity and urgency to the issue of racism mm-hmm. that's before us. I think one pandemic has actually prepared us for the other one.
Well, quite possibly. And to me, the takeaway is that it has to be washed in the truth, that we have to deal with the real facts and understand the difference between reality and perception. And that's not to underestimate the power of somebody's perception. If that's your perception, that's your reality. But let's just like we do with the gospel of Christ, let's bring in, you know, the truth of what God says and the truth of the matter, because what we're hearing time and again, that there is a, you know, that we have this systemic issue of racial discord. And when you look at data and some of the things that people would want us to believe, it refutes that. And so I want to be careful, because we will turn people off here, Pastor, if we somehow get into the generalization of it. And I think, you know, and one of the things I've been sharing several times this morning, you know, and I believe it's a God thing, because that's the way sometimes the show happens, is I just feel like the Spirit leads me in a certain way, is I was drawn to the prayer of St. Francis, and something that I've dealt with for a long time personally, and that is that part of the prayer says, God grant me that I choose not to be understood, so much to be understood as to understand. And
I think the understanding is super important right now. Like, I think it's really important for white people, and I think it's really important for people to listen to each other. And in speaking of generalities, you gave big generalities that some things aren't true. Of course, some things aren't true. Other things are true. And I think what's really interesting right now is that the use of videotape is actually capturing unmitigated some of the police brutality. I think it's important to separate out prejudice from systemic racism. Mm-hmm. Because as Ephraim Kendi said in his new book, How to Be Anti-Racist, I think very interesting, systemic racism isn't so much about bad people as it is about bad policies. And it's really the policies that we need to take a look at. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we're actually going to even understand some of those disparities that Black people and people of color experience, health disparities, disparities in hiring practices, access to healthy food, quality education, even banking. I don't think we're going to understand that unless we really listen. Now, I've been a pastor in a black church. I'm married to a Hispanic man. I come from a multicultural, multiracial family. So I've got some exposure to that. And I think listening is really key to understand what other people's experience of life actually is.
Mm-hmm. Well, in your idea,
church can come in. Mm-hmm. That's where I think the church can come in, because we're a space where voices are sacred. We're a space where we allow the Spirit to speak to us. We're a space where everyone is called to be welcome. And I think that's something that's missing in society right now, where we've got us against them.
Right.
And this, you know, political platform against that one. When we really lift up Christ, love of God, love of neighbor, every human person of sacred worth and dignity, we have a responsibility to listen to each other, even when it's uncomfortable.
Right.
And I think that's a place the church can excel and needs to.
Well, and it has. It has in the past. But this is where the church, I believe, and where I believe your culture of renewal program can come into play here, because renewal starts in the heart. You know, we've got to deal with these heart issues, because everything else comes out. It's a manifestation of what we hold in our heart, whatever racism, maybe we don't even think we have. But,
Go ahead.
No, I'm listening. Go ahead.
I was going to tell you a story. I just came from one of these retreats, and we're working with emotional intelligence. And that's self-awareness, empathy, the ability to have productive conflict as opposed to just shutting down, self-management. And it's making a big difference. So we had one young Korean pastor in our group, and he told this story of going out for a walk with his wife and his two small kids. They live in an idyllic Vermont town, and as they were walking, other kids began to shout, coronavirus, coronavirus, as they walked by. And it happened more than once with different kids, and reflecting some of the anti-Chinese sentiment that has been fomented. And because of the training and coaching that he received through creating a culture of renewal, this pastor and his wife had the courage. They had the courage to approach the parents of these kids. They introduced themselves. They talked calmly with the parents. They educated them. They brought about peaceful conversation and understanding. And, you know, you might think there would be shouting or recriminations or shame or blame. There was none of that.
Yeah.
Instead, you know, as a result of these conversations, they received cards from the families. They got
gifts
from their neighbors. More conversation. And now what's actually unfolding is real relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's what we call restorative justice, where right relationship comes into being. And that's what really brings peace. And I think, Bill, that's leadership. With this young pastor, what he did, that's leadership that brings people together. And it's the kind of unifying leadership that people hunger for. And honestly, that we need to see now around the issue of systemic racism.
Right.
And that's where I think the church can and needs to rise.
Well, again, the Word of God says very clearly, people without vision will perish, and that vision is revelation from God. And this is what we need. We need God's revelation for this time, and that's where leadership comes from, because when vision and God's revelation is realized and people are practicing, guess what? You know, the people rejoice. And here it is, these two couples, you know. Right.
Yeah.
But we have to understand what the end game is. I guess that's what I'm saying, ultimately.
Well, I wrote a book recently called Dream Like Jesus, Deepen Your Faith and Bring the Impossible to Life. And I think Jesus had a big dream for all of us, and that it's that earth would be a reflection of heaven. You know, all the love and justice and beauty and humor and connection and friendship and grace and equity, all of that would be a reflection to on earth. And I think that's what we're called to be. That's what we're teaching church leaders how to do, is have a vision that positively impacts their communities. And they can be agents of change. Congregations can be agents of change and connection in their communities.
So and healing. And yes, exactly.
Healing. Exactly, yeah.
Exactly. Rebecca Simon-Peter has been our guest. Pastor, where can they be in touch with you?
I would love to hear from folks at RebeccaSimonPeter.com, R-E-B-E-K-A-H-S-I-M-O-N-P-E-T-E-R.com.
Thank you, Rebecca. Take care. God bless.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, and this is our lowest 30-year fixed rate ever. And now your direct lender, Network Capital Funding, is offering mortgage rates at historic lows. See for yourself. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.875 with a 2.89% APR. Incredible. Plus, there's no lender origination fees or discount points. This is the best it's ever been. And now you have Network Capital Funding on your side, saving you money and time with their uniquely fast, simple, and secure process. These are our best rates ever. So call now to save. See for yourself. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.875 with a 2.89% APR. Incredible. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding. 800-500, the number one, HIT. That's 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. It's a grand slam to your best savings ever on your new mortgage or refi. That's 800-500-1-HIT or 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law. Number 603-D787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The just-released jobs report from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics indicating the jobs market's beginning to bounce back following the coronavirus pandemic.
The May jobs report was a surprise to most economists, with a report beating expectations. Eleni Kara George of the Bureau of Labor Statistics tells us,
total non-farm payroll employment rose by 2.5 million in May, and the unemployment rate declined by 13.3%. These improvements in the labor market reflected a limited resumption of economic activity that had been curtailed in March and April due to the coronavirus pandemic and efforts to contain it.
I'm John Clemens.
What could be Tropical Storm Cristobal by Sunday is expected to hit Texas or Louisiana with fierce winds and flooding rain this weekend. A tropical storm watch is already in effect for that region. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez live. Turn it up.
Yeah, we don't believe in Gaga and Goo Goo here. Good to have you with us on the radio. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez. And for more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Russell Shaw is joining us to talk about his new book, Eight Popes and the Crisis of Modernity. Russell, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Well, good to be with you, Bill.
Okay, why the book? Why did you write this book?
Because I thought it was a very interesting and even exciting story, basically. But it started as a series of newspaper profiles of these popes. I was writing these pieces for a national Catholic newspaper called Our Sunday Visitor. Mm-hmm. And as I got into the researching, I found that I had, boy, a lot more material than I could crowd into a series of short newspaper pieces. In fact, I said to myself, this would make a very good book. So that's how it got started, and I'm glad I wrote it. I had a lot of fun putting the book together, and I learned a lot in doing it, too.
You know, what I appreciated about the book and also what kind of drew me to it was, you know, the current documentary about the two popes, right? And it really brought to focus, you know, yeah, you may be the pope, but you still have to do and deal with your humanity, right?
That's right, yeah. You know, the popes are, they're not all cut out with the same cookie cutter. They're each of them are very different and very interesting human beings. And they're human beings just like you and me, and they live with their own problems. And in the case of the popes, they live with the problems of the church and the problems of the times. So they're, if we've got universal men these days, it's the pope, because they feel and exercise the responsibility for everybody everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to tell, particularly with Pope Benedict, I was especially encouraged when he was so vulnerable to admit his own spiritual crisis.
Oh, yes. Yes, he was. He was and is a man of great intelligence and great humility. Mm-hmm. I have great affection for and respect for Pope Benedict.
Mm-hmm. In chapter one, you talk about Pope St. Pius X. Explain to our audience the crisis that he faced.
Well, he really faced two crises. One was a crisis in dealing with the very hostile, very anti-clerical French government of those times. It really got pretty mean, pretty dirty. The French anti-clerical government closed down religious orders and seized church property, and they were really doing everything they could to make life miserable for the Catholic Church, for religion generally, uh-huh. and, of course, for Pope Pius X. But Pius X was no softy, and he fired back as best he could with strong condemnations of what those French anti-clericals were doing. The second crisis, though, that Pope St. Pius X faced was a crisis of a heresy in the Catholic Church, to which he gave the name modernism. And, you know, not to go into a lot of heavy theology, he basically analyzed modernism as a heresy that reduced religion to a matter of our psychological needs. We mm-hmm. human beings need religion, so we create religion out of our own sense of need. Whereas I think any religious believer would say, yeah, I feel I need religion, but I also need faith in something. Something real, something substantial, something out there in reality. I need faith in God, and for a Christian, in God's revelation as embodied in Jesus Christ. So that's what Pius X was up against, and that's what he tried to deal with. And he did, strongly and in his time, at least, very effectively.
Well, we have innate wiring that needs to be satisfied, and we're going to satisfy it with, you know, one thing or another. You know, God's choice is that we would choose rightly and choose Him, but we're free will agents. And basically, this idea, you know, like, you know, what you write about, the outbreak of the modern mind, you know, was all to chip away. You know, did God really say? We go back to that question in the garden, and you question God, you question people's beliefs, you begin to tie up the strong man, because if you can tie up the strong man, then you can have your way with the people. And how did that work for them?
Well, that's very insightful, Bill. I'm glad you said that. Yes, we have a need to believe in something, and if we don't believe in God and believe in God's revelation, we're going to fill that vacuum with something else, and probably won't be something very nice and very pretty. We've seen a lot of people in modern times trying to fill that vacuum with false ideologies, Nazism, communism among them. I prefer to fill my sense of need with belief in God.
Exactly. Amen. Do you find it, when I look back in history and I see how these bookmarks come together, here we are at the turn of the century and what was going on, you know, we had rumblings of the First World War, we had, you know, the introduction of this modern mind and the attack on people of faith. It's interesting that you had this convergence at the same time that also in other other parts of the world, there was revival taking place. Do you find that interesting?
It's still happening today. I mean, religion and the Catholic Church is not in a very strong position in many places in Western Europe at the present time. But religion is, and Christianity and Catholicism are booming in many places in Africa and in Asia as well. Mm-hmm. So the center of gravity of religion may be shifting in our times, but it's still alive and well in many, many places.
Well, and we find that when humanity enters into the valley of the shadow of death, they look up. And in light of, I say, two pandemics that we're dealing with right now, one happens to be COVID-19, the other is this civil unrest that we're dealing with not only in our country, and the reason it makes a pandemic is that we have reports that's happening around the world. I mean, it's happening in Europe, certainly in Hong Kong, all these areas that this unrest, civil unrest is taking place right now, and people, I mean, even though churches were shut down, Russell, people were finding way to connect with God online. I mean, online viewership and participation in masses, whether it came from the Vatican or their local church, was it astounding numbers. And I hear repeatedly, you know, from people who will send me notes or call me and say, "Where is God? Where is God?" I mean, and I go, that's a good question to ask. I mean, don't be embarrassed to ask that question, because if you ask that question and keep searching, you know, God isn't playing hide and seek here. But he says if you'll search, you'll find, right?
Right. Right. You know, in the midst of our present crisis here in the United States, and as you say, it's spreading as well. In the midst of that crisis, I thought just the other day of Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address. You remember it, I'm sure. It's in it, Lincoln says in so many words that the Civil War, this terrible war, as he called it, was God's punishment for the sin of slavery. And you may think that some people may think that's kind of far out, but I think it's right on target. Lincoln put his finger on the heart of the problem as it was then and as it is now. It's a moral problem, essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is the need for good schools and good programs and more spending and police brutality and a lot of things. But basically, there's a need for conversion, a change in our hearts, the way that we look at one another and treat one another.
Exactly. And, you know, you think of the investment, the money that has been poured in on the war on poverty, especially targeted to people of color, and how that has almost gone to waste because of mixed loyalties. But that's a whole other discussion. We're talking with Russell Shaw right now in his new book, Eight Popes and the Crisis of Modernity.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They deliver. delivered it free, and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance.
That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
You wonder, you know, you go, but for how long, right? Gosh, I'll tell you, and I don't want to sound disparate at all, because as you've heard me say before, my father would look at me and smile and say, "You are the most optimistic of all my sons." So I am the perennial optimist. So every once in a while, through my optimism, you know, the other side will squeak out. We're talking with Russell Shaw in his new book, Eight Popes and the Crisis of Modernity. Eight popes face both spiritual and physical challenges that affected not only their Catholic flock, but the entire world during the 20th century. The assault on the dignity and the rights of human person were ongoing and brutal. And in this new book by Russell, all eight Roman pontiffs during the last century are shown how they fought back against the attacks on human dignity. Assaults on the dignity and rights of the human person have been central to the ongoing crisis of the modern era in the last 100 years. And Russell, I think to this point, this is why we keep cycling. You know, we're like the children of Israel out in Kadesh Barnea that just kept going in circles because God said, "Hey, you still got lessons to learn here." And I feel sometimes that we're out, and this is a bit of a desert experience for us, is that we keep repeating the same mistakes. But what it all comes down to, and as you state here, it comes down to dignity and the rights of the human person. You know, what our modern world has done in hyphenating everybody. You know, I'm not even Hispanic. I'm Mexican-American now, you know, and everybody's hyphenated. I mean, who in the heck put that on me? You know, and, you know, we don't have human beings anymore. We got black Americans, you know, we got Korean Americans. We're all bifurcated and siloed, you know, for what? So that even as little kids, we learned that united we stand, divided we fall. And it's been a very subtle division. And, you know, you know, kind of a class warfare or race warfare that, you know, those on the left and those powers would want us to be, which is so ungodly, right?
Right, right. You know, this notion of the human person, the dignity and rights of the human person, it's a central theme in my book, of course, but it also was absolutely central to the teaching and the actions of the popes of the 20th century, and in a very special way, Pope John Paul II. He if you will, was the pope of the human person. You know, John Paul II, long before becoming pope, he was a professional philosopher. He wrote philosophy and he taught philosophy. And the school of philosophy with which he was identified is best known as personalism. Mm. And that idea, that commitment to the dignity of rights and rights of the human person runs all through the many fine teaching documents of the pontificate of John Paul II. So do a lot of other things, but he was quite a man. Mm-hmm. But at the center of it all, at the heart of it all, is this enormous respect for the dignity of the human person.
It had to break his heart, the heart of Pope St. John Paul II, because here he is realizing, you know, abortion run amok, the selling of baby parts, the dehumanization of people, not only in America, around the world, but I mean the things that were going on. I mean, people in whether it's Korea or modern China, even people being arrested and their body parts harvested. Just the egregious human indignity and disrespect for God's creation made in his own image. This just had to crush him.
You know, if may I speak a hard saying. I referred earlier to Abraham Lincoln and mm-hmm. his second inaugural address, in which he said that the Civil War was God's punishment for the sin of slavery. Mm-hmm. Well, I think if we speak now about God punishing us for something, I think it would be the sin of abortion. Mm-hmm. And maybe that lies at the heart of so much that we're experiencing now, the wanton destruction of unborn human life in our times, in our country. God, you know, doesn't look in a positive light on that. I can assure you of that. And I suggest that it might be a wise and a prudent thing for us to rethink our position on abortion and change or else. I won't say or else what.
Well, or else that's up to God. I mean, this is his kingdom. And what he decides to do, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah didn't believe, and look what happened to them. And some have said that if God does not judge America with the murder of, 63, 65 million estimated abortions, then he owes an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. We say that anecdotally, but again, if you have any sense of God's heart and you realize how far off the mark we are and what we're realizing today, and you're exactly right, it is, you know, we're reaping what we have sown. We have become a culture of death. We disrespect people to the degree that we can place a knee on their neck and you know, let them die in front of us,
right,
and in front of the whole world.
It's pervasive. You can't put it in a neat category, and you know, it's pervasive and it spreads just like a virus.
Exactly.
It's a moral virus that corrupts us in so many ways.
And we have to see that. You're exactly right, Russell. We have to see it for what it is. If we're going to have a renewal of our heart, and that is what is required. But, you know, God in his, forbearance and his desire to be reconciled to creation still says, look at, you know, come to me, turn to me. If you turn to me, I'll forgive you. And we will reconcile We will reconcile the past so that we can move forward in a godly manner. And the prayers of so many millions, you know, this is what endears me so much to the Catholic Church. I got to tell you, Russell, being born and raised Catholic, is when we pray the Lord's Prayer, and you imagine around the world, those prayers going up to heaven from, you know, the Catholic Church, there's such a power of unity. And I believe in large measure, this in part is what is withholding the judgment of God, and that we are co-laboring with the Holy Spirit, which we just celebrated, you know, the Feast of Pentecost. And we read in the book of Genesis how the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the madness, the chaos, the confusion, and bringing it into alignment. And I feel that. I feel that today, that that is happening. And I want to encourage, as you do, people of faith, to not give up. To not give up the good fight that we're fighting. That, you know, God is behind this. And that whether it's ourselves, somebody that is near and dear to us, family members, our cities, our communities, our world for that matter, that we can come into alignment with God, because that's God's ultimate purpose, whether it happens before Jesus comes back or that we get another opportunity at a, you know, an incredible revival.
And this is the message, I think, the great message, which we really need to hearken to even now, the message of those eight popes of the 20th century. This is what they were telling us over and over again. God is not an angry God, not a punishing God. God, you know, wishes us well, but God is not going to allow huge injustices to go on forever. So right. Turn back, turn away from the evil, and make it right with God again.
Exactly. Another interesting thing for me, because I was a young Catholic boy at this point, when the Second Vatican Council came about, the innovation in continuity that you write about. Explain to our audience. We've got a couple of minutes here left.
Well, the Church does change, and the change is reflected in the teachings and policies of the Pope. But the Church and the Popes don't change in essentials. The teaching of the Church is rooted in divine revelation, and you can't change that. You can just apply it over and over again to changing circumstances, and that's what Vatican II, the Second Vatican Council, mm-hmm. was all about, to bring the Church up to date, as it were, not by changing the Church, but by making adjustments in the way we communicate the message in order to suit the particular needs and priorities of the times in which we live. And that continues to be the policy of the popes in their teaching and in the policies they advocate. Not right. change, but a profound continuity with what has come before, but a very prescient and relevant awareness of what the continuity and what the tradition have to say to our present circumstances.
Yeah, anecdotally, maybe because I was an altar boy, I didn't realize I loved Latin so much until it wasn't part of the Church and we went to the Mass of the Vernacular. Just a little side note here. Russell, as we wrap things up here on Eight Popes and the Crisis of Modernity, what do you want people to grab most, you know, from your book?
I want them to realize that the popes aren't just historical figures, although they're certainly that. They're men who had something to say to their times, and who also have something important to say to the times in which we live.
Well, we appreciate the gift of this book. This is awesome, available at all the usual places. We're going to link it on our website as well at BillMartinezLive.com. Russell Shaw has been our guest. Russell, thank you so much. God bless.
Good to be with you, Bill.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
And that's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, SunnyBay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at SunnyBay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6, or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at SunnyBay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to Sunny-Bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click Sunny-Bay.com. That's Sunny-Bay.com.